Have we found the reason why Brian Gaine has been so stingy in the offseason? This team, Seth, has a lot of decisions to make next offseason between Clowney extension still out there if they don't get it done this offseason. DJ Reader, Will Fuller, Whitney Merciless, Nick Martin. Point is, they have a lot of decisions to make next offseason. Is that possibly weighing into how conservative Brian Gaine has been so far?
Well, before we embark on this conversation, you need to establish something at the beginning. If you accept this explanation, will you then also accept that I was correct in saying that trading Osweiler away for cap space wasn't a bad deal because it helped you sign DeAndre Hopkins the next year?
I want to do something. I want to bring in...
You answer the question!
I want to bring in an accountant.
Yeah.
Into the show, like an interesting accountant, someone who's entertaining, who can look at the Texans' monetary expenditures in the last 2 or 3 years, and if this accountant can explain whether the Osweiler trade dump, the second-round pick, was actually worth
salary
it.
Salary dump, basically. Yeah. Or no, it was a, yeah, it was a, whatever it was.
I'm open.
They sold the draft pick.
I'm open to your idea.
Okay.
I'm open to it. I'm skeptical.
I think nobody ever likes the answer, hey, we're keeping some cap space open because we've got all these guys to sign. Because immediately, I think where most people go after that was like, well, hey, how do you know all these guys are worth re-signing? We got the doors blown off us in the playoffs last year. And then you come back and say, well, you know, you did win 11 games. And then somebody comes back and says, well, yeah, the weakest schedule in the league. And then you say, well, yeah, but it's still hard to win. Haven't you heard these guys in their press conferences?
Yes.
They want you to know how hard it is to win. So there's something to be said for keeping your powder dry enough to be able to pay all these guys when they come around. The guys that you listed, and I this has been my theory for a long time, but you went ahead and tabulated it. Jadeveon Clowney. That's gonna take up a good chunk of cap space.
Yes,
it already is taking up some cap space,
and that's actually a good thing.
He's already taking up $15 million in cap space right this moment.
Yes.
DJ Reader's gonna get an extension. That'll be an interesting one because he hasn't turned into the pass rushing presence that I think they probably hoped he would. Yeah, like not that they ever expected him to be a true pass rusher, but he's given you very little in the way of push up the middle. But he's a really good run stuffer, old school. 3-4 defensive linemen, how much are those guys worth on the open market these days? Not as much as they used to be, but all it takes is one team. Will Fuller, obviously, if he can ever stay healthy for an entire season. Chantrell Henderson,
what if he actually has a good season this year? I don't expect it. I'm taking something that the Triple Threat talked about, and I'm basically looking at the list that Sean put together, because I do think ultimately the idea is correct that one of the top two or three reasons why Gaine has been so conservative is all the decisions they have to make.
Yeah.
Because looking at next offseason, to me, the way the Texans operate, moves like extending DJ Reader, extending Nick Martin, assuming he gets better, those are the kind of moves that this team usually makes.
Well, I think the biggest explanation really is just that it was a pretty bad free agency class. There really weren't a lot of studs out there. Not that there ever are a ton of studs, but there really weren't a lot. And I guess where it was most disappointing was there weren't even rank and file starters available, that especially in the positions you needed with the Texans. There are a bunch of rank and file safeties out there, and they went out and they got one of them, you know? So I guess if what you were hoping for was relatively mundane signings from guys that could fill holes, they went out and they did that with Tayshaun Gibson. They kind of did a half measure with Bradley Roby at cornerback, but they were relatively aggressive within the scope of what you wanted them to be. There just wasn't a whole lot of guys worth spending money on other than that. It doesn't change the fact that it should leave you feeling empty. Like, this is, I can excuse it, but it's okay to still feel empty about the fact that, wow, they didn't really get any better during this free agency period.
Yeah, it's hard to punt on one season for the next season when, again, I think it all boils back to the fact that Deshaun Watson's on a rookie contract. And how many years like this can you say to yourself, you know, next offseason when Chantrell Henderson turns into a great right tackle, you know, we're going to give him like $20 million. You know, that to me is something that I have a hard time with. And I understand there's a lot of other names other than that. But you can't also think to yourself that all these guys are going to work out either.
Right.
But what percentage is what Brian Gaine thinks are going to turn into the players that he wants?
I guess, but that's where if things do work out, and it's not like all of them need to work out. Like, that's like the GMs don't, hit. They don't bat 1,000 on these guys, including on their own guys. But this whole notion that when you have a rookie quarterback, you got to go out and spend aggressively, I feel like it's so short-sighted because it ignores the fact that, okay, there are other players on your team that you'd like to retain, and also you'd like to keep some money. You'd like to keep some money around so that when you do give your quarterback that huge contract, then you're able to retain other guys and still go out in free agency and fill holes. That's where I just don't buy into it. Like, hey, you got to spend now, because it ignores the fact that cap space rolls over. You can save this money on into the future. You can soften how much it hurts on into the future and keep more of a long-term approach. Not that you should have as much as the Texans have right now routinely. Now it's a little ridiculous.
Yes.
You don't need that. If you have this much cap space next year at the end of the year, that means that they haven't wrapped up some of these guys long-term and you're going to start wondering what's going on. But for whatever it's worth, all these teams, this happens all the time. Teams will have a bunch of cap space. People get edgy and wonder why the hell aren't they spending it, and then they end up spending it. Like, it will happen. The Jaguars did it. The Browns did it. The Colts did it. They've done it one time through now. Now they're starting to build up their cap space again. Like, they will spend it at some point.
Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Friday, we're wondering if the reason why Brian Gain has been so stingy in the offseason is all the decisions that are due next offseason. And Clowney's one that kind of is a hybrid between this and the next, obviously. But DJ Reader, Nick Martin, Will Fuller, Bradley Roby, guys like that. I accept the premise. And I also think, I think the biggest thing is this. And I'm going to bring this up to Vandy in the 8 o'clock hour and see if he agrees. When I look at Brian Gain, so far what we've learned, what I've learned is that Gain, to me, is the kind of general manager who says, you know what, a player, I'm looking at any player like Tyrann Mathieu or Kareem Jackson, whoever, and I've got a number on that guy, how much I'm willing to go. And with Tyrann Mathieu, reportedly, it was about 11 or so million bucks per year. And Gain's the kind of guy who's like, listen, if Tyrann Mathieu gets more money in the open market, I'm going to let him go because I've got a number on this guy. I'm going to start somewhere. I'll have some wiggle room, some negotiating room. But if I don't think this guy is more than an $11 million a year player, I'm just not going to go out and I'm not going to go out and re-sign him, because ultimately that's going to be in the worst interest for the football team. Mm-hmm. That's the way I view Brian Gain. He has a set price on these guys.
If you look at the rest of the teams in the league, okay, here it looks like the Texans, if I'm reading the Spotrac rule right, or the Spotrac website right, I think the Texans are seventh. They've spent the seventh least amount of money, little seventh, whatever they are. There's a seventh stingiest team. The stingiest team have been the Dolphins, which is curious. The Rams, which is interesting. The Patriots, which is interesting, because two of the top five least spending teams are both the Super Bowl participants. And there's a general trend that, for the most part, the playoff teams haven't spent a whole lot of money. The non-playoff teams have spent a lot of money. Well, that makes sense. The non-playoff teams are trying to get better. The thing I worry about with the Texans is, all right, yes, you won 11 games. That was very good. That was very impressive. You won 9 games in a row. That was awesome, too. It was a very, very, very weak schedule. A very weak schedule. Like, the AFC South has improved in some respects, but the way it worked out for the Texans last year, it was a weak schedule. Some of your matchups were very fortuitous. Should you be viewing yourself as like, hey, we're right up there in the same boat as all these other playoff teams that aren't spending money? Or should you be saying, you know what, we're a fringe playoff team that got the doors blown off of us in the wild card round. Should we be a little bit more aggressive? Because we can't put ourselves in that same boat as like even the Chargers of the world, and certainly not the Rams or the Patriots.
Isn't it a good idea in life to always put yourself in a category like the latter? Isn't it always good to think to yourself, you know what, we did well, but we can always do better? Because, yeah, I'm just having a hard time with the first, you know?
The first is reality, right? That, like, you're decent, but you're objectively not at the level of the best teams in the NFL. Like, when we watch this team play between the offensive line and the secondary, the Texans are not one of the best teams.
How many NFL teams are willing to admit that to themselves?
Oh, no, I think all of them desperately want to get better. Like, none of them are sitting there and be like, yeah, we're sitting high on the horse and there we go. But I'm thinking about the way that we're looking at it. I see people saying, well, look, the playoff teams are smart and they're not spending money. I don't want to put the Texans in like the category of every playoff team. I think they're a middle of the road team that had a couple lucky breaks that got them to 11 wins, but they're much more of an 8-8 football team than they are some of the bona fide playoff teams that didn't get embarrassed in the playoffs.
I think we'd all agree on that. Do they think that? That is something I think that a lot of NFL teams have a hard time admitting to themselves, looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, you know what, we aren't what we were last season. We were, you know, 11-5 is a number that I think is very hard, especially considering that's the best record that Bill O'Brien and company have had. I think that's a hard number to look at and say, you know what, we were frauds, or you know, we were an 8-8, we were in 7-9, we were a 9-7 team last year.
It's hard because what they say publicly a lot of times feels like they get a little sensitive about the fact that they don't get more credit for him having him having winning seasons and all except one of his seasons and all of that. Like they get sensitive at not getting acknowledged, but at the same time, I think in their heart of hearts over there, they know that. I mean, it was a ridiculous non-performance in the playoffs. Like everything that Texans fans were worried about came to fruition in the playoffs, and that's all that. It just felt like in a lot of ways their undergarments were exposed.
Yes.
So I think Bill O'Brien knows that. He just hates being reminded of it in press conferences.